All right, you are tuned in.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
To 105.1 KRFH LP Arcata, Radio Free Humboldt. I'm DJ Carlina, joined here with the bassist of Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. Welcome, Ben. Thanks for coming.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the hospitality.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the basement of Gist Hall.
Hey, basement. Nice. I like that. Well done.
The basement, and I'm here with the bassist. Nice. Yes. So, you're playing at the Van Duser tonight.
Yes, we are.
Is this your first time?
Yep.
All right. Exciting stuff. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
I'm sure Cal Poly Humboldt appreciates it.
Yeah.
I do. But first things first. So, it's well known that you met Jeremy and Scrambled Greg at University of Maryland.
Correct.
Is that right?
Well, actually, no, that is not true. I met Jeremy in high school at field parties.
Okay.
He went to a school in Baltimore, as did I. And, yeah, we sort of just met peripherally through, around the same time I met, my bandmate in Schwa, too, Owen Murphy. Yeah, just kind of hanging out. Remember one of the parties was at, Suicide Hill, where we used to sled. It was not snowing at the time, but our friend had just come back from, sorry for all the clicking.
That's okay.
From, Europe somewhere and brought a 2-foot cigar, and we rolled a, blunt. Out of that 2-foot cigar, and I remember smoking that over the course of 2 days, and one of the days was at that field party, where I'm pretty sure Jeremy was.
That sounds about right. So I have to ask, I looked it up. University of Maryland has a student-run radio, which isn't super common. It's a WMUC, and I wanted to know if you have any experience with college radio that you could share.
Yeah, well, we actually recorded Funky P. Our first album there.
That's
over
right.
We did it, tracked it in one night, and Jeremy did some overdubs. My friend Ilya Kobrinsky, shout out, who lives in outside of San Fran now. I'll be seeing him Wednesday.
Nice.
He lived across the hall from me freshman year. He started a band, Flavian, who included the drummer in my first band, and I played bass for them. We played with Pigeons Playing Ping Pong, as they were just an acoustic duo at the time, in one of the community centers in the middle of our, dorm quad.
Was that at WMUC?
We recorded at WMUC our senior year. Well, their senior year. I dropped out after two.
Nice, nice. And how many bands have you been in?
Pigeons was my, I guess technically third because of Flavian.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, really. Pretty much. And then since then I've played in like little projects here and there. But yeah, not too many.
And always bass?
No, Schwa, I do a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Keys, production, all sorts of shit.
Nice, nice. So I kind of want to know how you got into the bass around those times in the early days, like who your biggest musical inspiration was and all that.
Well, that's easy in terms of person, is Flea.
Ugh, classic.
Yeah,
classic.
Back in middle school, I don't know how if anyone remembers these days around here, but there was the Napster, Morpheus, Kazaa, Kazaalite. I would type in techno in middle school, early middle school, and download whatever I could, whatever said techno, and just whatever would come out of that. So that was the grounding of my musical kind of connection. Now, before that, my parents listened to like Bella Fleck and the Flecktones.
Love it.
A lot of new agey stuff. Acoustic Alchemy, highly recommend.
Acoustic Alchemy.
Yeah, things like that. So I sort of got in. Vic Wooten obviously is a huge influence from that regard as well.
Nice.
Sort of part of why when I heard bass when I first started playing, I was like, oh, well, it should do a lot more than it does.
Yeah.
That's sort of how I approach it.
No, that's all interesting because I have my other radio show, Funk Hour, and so big fan of Flea, Vic, Bella Fleck, and the Flecktones.
When I got into Chili Peppers, we were... dating myself, at the mall. We went to Borders Books and Music.
Nice.
Which now does not exist.
Yeah.
It's gone the way of Radio Shack.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was with my friend Owen Hill, who... I was like, what CD should I get? And he guided me towards the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Greatest Hits, which came with a DVD of their music videos. Again,
classic.
DVDs is this thing that...
For current college students who don't know.
It's like if you had to put a cartridge into Apple TV to watch. but this that kind of got me into all that. And then My first instrument was viola. My viola teacher made me cry one time because I cheated on practice. We had just gotten a computer and a printer, you know, way back in the day, and we were supposed to put stickers on a calendar when we practiced, and I printed out from KidPix a little, like, thing, and it only printed on a quarter of the page. It was not in color. And I was like, well, I didn't technically put a sticker on, so I'm not cheating. And then she yelled at me in front of the class when I was, like, 4 or 5 years old, instead of being like, well, that's really creative, but you didn't practice, and, like, maybe take this energy. And so I ran out to my mom after class and cried, and she said, like, you don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then Gloria, my piano teacher, when I was 8 for a couple of years, taught me to kind of, like, leaned into my ear, did the Suzuki method, and I learned, I couldn't sight read or anything. I would just learn the pieces and then just play them from memory. But for some reason, I didn't. I was like, wow, it'd be cool to be like a rock star, but can't do that with piano. I don't know where I got that idea from. It just didn't seem like, because it was on the more classical side.
Yeah.
So that my friend Owen Hill's birthday party, 16 years old, his dad got him a new bass. He'd been playing his dad's bass. And I was like, well, that's really cool, because I'd tried my mom's acoustic guitar. And I was like, I feel too smart to feel this stupid, I guess, you know, in a, you know, trying to stay humbled about it. But Sunday Bundy, sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm enjoying all the dad jokes I've heard this morning.
Yep. I played his bass. He taught me Smoke on the Water, actually the incorrect bass line, following the chords, but the real ones, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And, I played his bass for the rest of the time, started playing, taking lessons with his bass teacher, Dave DeMarco, a couple months later, and first band was when I was junior. I had just transferred schools, and we were in a combined for the first 2 days of class, Thursday, Friday, gym and health class. And I was talking to this guy, John Azzard, who played guitar. I was like, yeah, I play bass. He's like, yeah, we should jam. I got this guy, Greg Schaefer, who plays drums.
There you go.
And we jammed. The second time we played together, we wrote like 3 songs, and I was hooked, you know, showing everyone in class these horrible lo-fi recordings on a tape recorder of these songs that we wrote. I'm like, check it out. It's so cool. Like, it was not that cool or good.
Yeah.
But we had a great time. We called Ellipsis, which now thinking back on it led me to the rest of my career.
How symbolic.
Our album was Basement Banter. We practiced in Greg Schaefer's basement.
And, love a good basement.
There it is.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, so that's how I sort of got into that whole, you know, area.
Yeah. How cool. And from there, the bass was your love. Is your love?
I wouldn't say so. It was my connection to
your
music.
Connection.
I've fought against it for a long time, being a bassist. I was like, I'm a musician who plays bass. I really identify. I can lose myself in piano a lot more when I'm playing. You know, when I was living in my parents' house, they had a piano I grew up with. And then in my house, we just got a piano when we moved in, a couple months after we moved in last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, that's what I get lost in and can just play for hours. Bass feels a little limiting sometimes, but I've learned, you know, constraint is one of the greatest inspirations for creativity.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to utilize that. I love the fact that bass is a melodic, rhythmic interchange. I feel very connected to that. But it's music's a long journey of quelling the ego while letting the ego run free at the same time, in a sense.
Yeah.
So that's been hard for me. But I've recently feel a lot more connected, and I do feel like a bassist now.
Good. Well, that's very insightful. I like that quote. Like, I'm not just a bassist. I'm a musician who plays bass.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's I've made a lot of justifications and mental compromises in my life to give me space to explore, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully that rings true for others. I do... Being on college campus, I wanted to ask if you have advice for current college students who maybe are in bands or starting to play instruments and they want to be in the music industry.
Don't have a plan B.
All right.
It just, that's what you're going to do. I dropped out of college. I was like, no matter what happens, music will take me to where I need to go. And if that's still music, then so be it.
Yeah.
And if it's something else, you know, you can always go back to college. I wasn't doing much with it. Now the other guys, they started the Maryland Music Business Society and did music business and had other options, so it worked for them. But for me, my thought process was, I looked at successful people in whatever field they were in, and seemed to be a common theme where there were had the belief that God or the universe, you know, they would thank God for getting them there. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was more atheistic, trending towards agnostic. But I realized that the belief itself, that's so much, is a big part of it, because a lot of success is not giving up no matter what. And if mm-hmm. you believe that there's a reason you're doing this, you will never give up. You'll be like, God is just teaching me a lesson or just trying to. So I believed in belief itself and got very lucky, yeah. But also never gave myself other options and essentially never gave up, even when I was totally wanting to give up or had given up on myself. I just created, I found myself in a situation where I had no other options, kind of. And that got me here, I guess.
Well, I'm glad it did. All the way up in Northern California, Humboldt County, I wanted to know. I've never been to Maryland, but I wanted to know if you could speak on any similarities or differences you've noticed. I know you haven't been here long, but I'm sure you've been to Humboldt before. Any similarities or differences to Maryland, University of Maryland, East Coast in general?
Well, as soon as I walked into the hall, and like on a college campus, there's just almost a suspension of disbelief, where you're just kind of like, there's a bubble mm-hmm. of like excitement and joy and possibility. You know, there's a separation. There's probably a permeable barrier, some sort of membrane protecting you from the outside world, which allows you to develop and, you know, much like a unicellular organism could kind of collect together, grab some mitochondria and mm-hmm. start working on some shit producing.
Bubble, I like to say.
Yeah. Yep. Bubs.
Yeah, our bubs. So would you say, like, when you were in college, what was the music scene like in Maryland? In Humboldt, we have a lot of kind of, we've got, so far in Carefage, we've had a couple punk bands, some indie, emo music. Kind of wondering what that was like in Maryland in your days.
Well, the scene that we were connected with, there was a sort of like a coffee shop indie vibe. Mm-hmm. I forget the venue. That maybe it was College Perk, I think, the coffee place.
Sounds like a cool name.
Yeah. But I don't know if I ever went to that, but a lot of different things. It was a big university, flagship of Maryland. Mm-hmm. But there was the jam scene. We saw Soul Live there at a similar situation like this. One of our like little theater type things on campus. Mm-hmm. Jeremy and Alan Vantoy, who started the Maryland Music Business Society with some other people, and their music business teacher. That's actually how Jeremy met our drummer. They had a assignment in freshman year to post in the music business group class, and either Jeremy posted looking for a drummer, and maybe that's sophomore year, or a drummer posted looking to jam, and that's how they connected.
Like a Craigslist sort of thing?
Yeah, but like a class bulletin board. Okay. And the assignment was you have to post something, and so they found each other that way. But yeah, it was a good community, a lot of jam scene. First time I met Greg, I was at home that weekend. There was Virgin Fest at Pimlico, which is a few blocks from my house, where Preakness is held. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, Owen, and Schwa, Rob Houston, and Greg came to my house to link up, and then we went to Virgin Fest, and I was asleep in my room in my boxers, and they were outside my window like, hey, Ben, ready to go? And I didn't answer, so Greg, who didn't know me, I knew everyone else, he comes into my house, walks up to my room, and is like, yo, Ben, we're ready to go. And I just turn over in my boxers, and I'm like, all right, cool. Never met him before.
No, who are you? Just,
no, just right. Like, all right, cool. I'll be on a sec. And then Jeremy almost left him at Virgin Fest. Luckily, they found each other.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very college. It's very
super
fitting.
College, yeah.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KRFH, and I'm here with Ben, the bassist for Pigeons Play Ping Pong. And hopefully I've got some flockers tuned in right now. I saw some people have been ringing the line, so we definitely got some listeners.
Are flockers where birds at school put their books?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, yellow combination.
Yeah, that's here in Humboldt. We've got a lot of different kinds of birds here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I started going on runs recently at the farm behind my house.
Okay.
And at 8 a.m. every morning, there's a big flock of geese.
All right.
That, like, are so loud, just, like, balking.
Yeah.
And it's, like, very inspiring. Balking? Balking?
I like that.
Like,
usually
B-A-W-K.
I hear honking, but balking's good.
Yeah.
That's more of a duck.
So loud. And it's fun watching because they've got this big group of birds, and then they'll, like, split up. And they'll stay in groups, but they fly in opposite directions, and then they'll circle back around.
Cool.
It's very cool. At 8 a.m., it's exactly what I need to keep going.
Yeah, we were seeing fish at Meriwether in Columbia, near Baltimore, and they were promoting a goose show there. And then a flock of geese flew by, and I hit up our manager, who runs goose, too. And I was like, yo, you guys crushed promo right now.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. The geese pulled through. Yeah. Well, we've got 12 people on the stream on carefh.net, so... Who knows? We could have thousands on 105.1 on the FM dial. But moving on. So Pigeons is playing at Van Duzer tonight, in case anyone isn't aware.
Who's Van Duzer?
He was a man, John Van Duzer.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's no longer with us.
Okay. Was that his hall, too? Was that he
part That's of his Se- theater.
He was part of Siemens Hall?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Van Duzer got the gist at Siemens Hall.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to know, in your discography, I wanted to know if, like, every song is kind of more or less a collab, or if there's a certain song that maybe resonates with you the most, or, like, a song that you worked on, and then maybe everyone added their bits and pieces to.
Well, we do a lot of, I mean, we mostly write ahead of time and then debut them live and then figure out how they go on the album later.
Uh-huh.
Our producer, he's really just the studio engineer, Steve Wright, Rightway Studios. He started with this band Lake Trout as their sound guy back in the day, and then they got a record contract with Warner Brothers, and you know, the 70 grand or whatever they got, he started building a studio with. And then so he has a studio to this day, and he's really like the fifth Beatle. He's taught me a lot about working with my... I love the song.
Sorry if it's a little distracting.
No, it's a great song.
Some Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, the classic, like, hey, what are we going to... Open jam, what are we going to play? Chameleon.
Yeah.
So he helped hone my, I guess, my style, which I've always felt is like Potter's Wheel, where I spent a long time lumping clay on there, and then I've now been carving it out. He helped me figure out where the grooves go.
Uh-huh.
That's been a part of my process writing. So we each have our domain within the songs. Greg obviously does a lot of the lyrics. I have one song I've written lyrically that we've debuted, and then I have another that we're close to. And then I have more that I'm just working on.
Nice.
Similarly, I've been spending my 20s and early 30s sort of just experiencing, and I'm starting to buckle down more, you know, sort of the logarithmic approach.
Oh, yeah.
Math,
yeah.
People out there. It's been my theory anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we all sort of have our place, and then we all, especially when we're writing them before the studio, pitch in with ideas. I mean, we have hundreds of hours of practice recordings where there's some music and then a lot of talking and figuring out ideas and trying to respect each other's space, but also hear each other. And yeah, some of our cooler songs have just come out of jams, just straight up.
Yeah.
We debuted a song in our CD release party last year called Overtime, and that was lyrics and all. The whole song was just improvised live.
How cool.
In practice, and then it, you know, honed in a couple things. You know, Greg locked in some more lyrics, but it's pretty much what you hear is how it sounded the first time we played it.
Yeah. So would you say songs like that resonate with you more, or maybe songs where, like, you wrote the lyrics, or...
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I've only, again, written one.
Right.
That has come to fruition. Those are very fun. I feel good about that because it's a different type of expression. But no, I like listening to the songs. The bass lines I feel like are unique and are my own style and have my fingerprint. I do love the ones that just kind of come out of the surreal. For example, we debuted on our last album. We were at a Shepherdstown Opera House in West Virginia, and 12 people came. 4 to 6 of them who are our friends, dressed to the nines in festival gear.
Nice.
Small little opera house, and we just took it as like a very casual, like fun, you know, experience for everyone, which I'm sure in college you can have those types of things a lot. and Surreal happened again. Same thing. There were a couple, at least one or two, I think one more section, the bridge that Jeremy came up with later. But yeah, the whole bass line was going doom doo 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 doo. And then Greg is, I am lost inside my mind. And that just happened live at a show. So that was, that's also very cool.
Must have felt surreal.
It's, yeah, so real, in fact.
Oh, so real. So I kind of, I wanted to know. So, like, one of the things that made me fall in love with the jam band scene, I first got into it in, I don't know, like 2019-ish.
Okay.
I really admired different jam bands' use of covers and the creativity that comes with covering songs. So, Pigeons are known, especially around Halloween, for your fun, creative covers. So I was kind of hoping you could touch on that and how you choose your covers, maybe some favorites that you've done.
Well, the past one we did was amazing, Talking Radioheads.
Yeah.
I had a fabulous time with that, so I'm looking for chocolate.
That's okay.
Stand by.
We've got all kinds of background noises going on.
And I found out recently that chocolate has caffeine in it.
Ah. Another very college thing to say.
All right. Well, first and foremost, we got to figure out what works without keys.
Right.
What works with the vibe. We want to have upbeat, kind of danceable, groovy stuff, which we've gotten better at, especially with longer shows and more of a dedicated fan base. We have moments where we can chill it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, we were bringing people in and, you know, especially very early on, people don't know us, don't know our band, don't know any of our songs.
Uh-huh.
That's when people would have a chance and used to get down with us and like vibe and then like us more with the other songs too.
Yeah.
You'd be standing around like, okay, this is cool. And connect with everyone. Oh shit. You know, whatever song it was recently, like Blinding Lights, Bye 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 Blinding Night Lights mashup, you know, Bye 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 Bye, and then into the epicness of Blinding Lights. It just gives people an opportunity to like connect with your neighbor in the crowd and connect with the band and be like, I know this, I feel part of the vibe.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. And then for me, I think for us, is just putting a unique spin on it. Same with like bass in general. You hear it in a lot of songs that are popular. It's just like they're just holding down the root of the chord.
Right.
It's like, especially these days, but back 16, 17 years ago, it's like a machine could do that. What's the point? Why not have a person doing something different? So instead of just covering a song and playing it the way it is, putting your unique spin on it. But I've also realized as well, there's something to be said for playing a song pretty close to how it's played live, like Eminence Front, on a big sound system, and experiencing that with a light show. So especially these days, I'm not as opposed to being more, doing more justice to the original intention of a song.
Yeah.
But I like the interpretation, you know, the reflection, refraction of the whole thing.
Can we expect any covers tonight? Am I allowed to ask that?
You're allowed to ask it. I don't know if I'd answer it, but in general, we shoot for about one cover a set.
Nice.
Just to like switch it up. But a lot of different covers now. We have such a catalog because of the Halloween and the New Year stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can expect it. I don't know if we'll play it, but if we'll do
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
But the expectation is a real. It's a doozy. It's a band doozy.
Yeah, it's a band doozy. Oh, man. Yeah, Ben's popping off with the the dad jokes this afternoon. So I wanted to also touch on the new single that just got released.
All right.
All right.
Tonight?
Tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe, all right, tonight. Maybe someone will hear it. Maybe not. But anyways, it just got released on Spotify. I was pleasantly surprised when it popped up on my home screen. And again, you know, I'm new to this whole interviewing touring musicians thing, but am I allowed to ask, can we expect any more new releases?
I believe we just talked about expectation, and I'll leave it at that.
That's so fair. I had to ask. I'm too curious to hold back. But it's great. I do really like the single, and I'm someone who, you know, I used to be really into re-listen, and You know Relisten, right?
I've heard of it. Do you have Nugs?
I don't have the subscription.
Yeah.
I'm a college student. Nugs needs to make a college student discount. That's what they need.
There's a college student discount. It's called getting 15 of your friends to get in on it and splitting it all.
Oh.
The only problem is you can only listen to one person can listen at a time. So
that's a good life hack.
But yeah, hit them up. Maybe they can give you one for the radio station or something.
Ooh, that would be cool.
If you don't ask, the answer is always no.
That's so true. Very inspiring. Okay. I just have like all these ideas, things I've wanted to ask. It's funny that you guys are, well, maybe funny's the wrong word, but it's fun that you guys are touring with Dogs in a Pile.
They're awesome. We've had a really good time connecting with them.
Good. You can expect, for those of you listening, you can expect to hear them because they're opening tonight at the Van Doozy.
Nice tie-in.
And so, back in quarantine times, I remember that was the first time I heard of Dogs in a Pile. I saw them on Instagram, and I'm sure you're going to be so annoyed with what I'm about to say. I'm sure you get this all the time. But I remember seeing them on Instagram, and they're kind of like, I don't know, they had entered my scene. I don't know if they were entering the scene, but I saw like a video or a photo, and the first thing comes to mind, I'm a big Pigeons fan. First thing comes to mind, I'm like, this guy looks just like Scrambled Greg.
He's actually his either son or brother, I'm not sure.
They were
jamming the other day, or we were jamming, and they were going back and forth on stage, and I'm just like, this is too good. He's got the big old eyes, but he also does wear kind of like Mike Goodman from Eggy and me sometimes, the crystals. Mm-hmm. So that differentiates him a little bit.
Okay.
I actually just gave him a labradorite that a fan had given me at Domefest this past year, and he was wearing it for that show, I think.
Nice.
I was like, nice. But yeah,
And then the lead guitarist also kind of looks like Jeremy.
He does. And I have similarly svelte and well built like Sam, the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very handsome and attractive, just like him.
Yeah.
And then Joe and Gator are both ripped as really good drummers. So
it's like meant to be.
Yeah. And then Jeremy's really good at keys, and when he plays with us, we are just plotting how we can capture him and have him force him to join our band.
Yeah. Adopt him.
Yep. Kidnap more, but yeah.
Yeah. So I wanna know like how many people have asked or talked about the appearance. Are you guys leaning into it at this point? It sounds like you kind of are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's that brotherly love, you know?
Yeah.
It's he's got big old eyes.
Yeah.
It's pretty appropriate. The universe works in funny ways.
Yeah. How long have you guys been jamming together?
First played with them, I think, last fall or winter at Brooklyn Bowl. I think that was the first time we played with them. They also performed at an AC After Fish the night before we played. So I got to talk to the house crew about what they were like. That was before I really knew them. I have friends, one friend Tara, was big into them early on, and you know, just got that energy, that good vibe. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about like how when Talk went on tour with Humphries for the first time, and like how much they connected, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of like our Talking McGee.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Pigeons in a Pile.
Pigeons in a Pile. That's so fun. I love the play on words. I feel like you boys are always doing the play on words.
Yeah, emphasis on play, you know?
Yeah. Yes, it's like you guys are playing all the time.
Hey. Yeah, I forget where this came from, but I think my other friend and I, back in the day, we just had this phrase, words with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that came
from,
what it means, but words with benefits.
Words with benefits.
Yep. Wood is good.
You know, to do this interview, I had to move some things around.
Yes.
More so DJ X Tina, who was in here before us. She had to move some things around, and during my bluegrass set,
I appreciate that, X Tina.
At 11 a.m., I was like, wow, X Tina, she's just the best. Bouncing around, you could say she's like a ping pong ball, just back and forth,
nice.
She kept moving her show back and forth for me. So yeah, shout out DJ X Tina. She's right there in the newsroom.
What up, X Tina?
Give her a wave. But yeah, so news is going on in just a couple minutes here, so we're gonna wrap up. What are you looking forward to most in Humboldt? Can I give you any recommendations before you go on stage if you have any time?
Hike? Yep.
Well, we have more hikes than I could even start to describe here on air, but...
Yeah, I don't know if I'll have time. We got in pretty late, and so I got to go set up.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But Even just around campus, it's kind of like a hike.
Yeah. Yeah, HSU. I got my one wheel, so I'll zip around a little bit.
We used to be HSU before we were Cal Poly Humboldt, and they called us Hill Stairs Umbrellas.
Okay.
HSU.
Hill Stairs Umbrellas. I like that.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. I guess I just have one last request. We used to do this. I don't know if we've done it in a while, but you probably are the first person to come on here and do an interview. Who's a touring musician, at least since pre-COVID. So I'm wondering if you can say, like, hey, I'm Ben with Pigeon Flame Ping Pong, and you're tuned into 105.1 KRFH LP Arcata. See where it says right there?
I see it.
So if you could just say that whenever you're ready, that would be so awesome.
Do I say Radio Free Humboldt too?
Sure.
Hey, what's up? I'm Ben, the first name bassist from Pigeons Playing Ping Pong, and you are tuned in to 105.1 KRFH LP Arcata, Radio Free Humboldt,
Yay! Thank you so much,
Absolutely,
Ben.
My pleasure.
Oh, so fun. And everyone, come to the Van Doozy tonight.
Yeah, if you can afford it. I know you're college students, but that's just free.
It's free for students. Yeah.
Spend all the money you save on nugs.
Exactly. All right. And then keep it locked for our news team going live in just a few minutes here. So thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, Carlina. And yeah, that's, I don't know if any of you know this, but Carlina has taken a few bass lessons from me.
This is true.
I know she hasn't continued, so I don't know what that says about my teaching strategy. But if you want any info or, you know, like, look into it, Ben at pigeonsplayingpingpong.com is not functioning right now. I'm working on it.
So don't go there.
Until then, bencarry@gmail.com.
All right.
C-A-R-R-E-Y. It's like Ben and then same as Jim Carrey spelling.
Love it. Yeah. Any last plugs? Final words?
Any last plugs? Trying to think of a... you know, electricity joke of some sort. But yeah, that's I got nothing.
Well, we'll hand it off to Skyla. This is our automation system. Thanks so much again.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Peace. My name is Tonio. I am a light bulb technician for the Light Bulb Factory. KRFH is cool because I can request songs about light bulbs and KRFH will actually play them. Not a lot of stations will do that. My name is Tonio. I'm a light bulb technician and I listen to KRFH.
KRFH. Radio 4. Everyone.